Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity. Irregularity. Inconsistency. Incongruity. A rarity.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of Anomaly. I'm Jen. Anomaly is one of the oldest, longest-running Geek Girl podcasts on the interwebs. Last month, I promised to upload a panel I attended featuring Felicia Day, recorded at Wizard World Austin, November 2017. Sorry for the delay. Life happened and I had to shift gears, but I'm delivering it today, so yay! Anyway, I had the opportunity to thank Felicia at the panel for representing women and gamer girls. I'll play this sound when it's my turn at the mic, just so you know it's me. I'll be back at the end of this episode to tell you what's coming up next on Anomaly and where you can contact us. Enjoy!
Hi, welcome you guys. So you're not a stranger to Austin, though.
No, I'm from Austin. Well, I consider myself from Austin because I feel like I was here, I lived here from when I was 15 to like 21. And I feel like those are your formative years when you either get your soul crushed by high school or you go to college too early. And I went to UT. Thank you, five people. I went to UT and, but the thing about it is I graduated a long time ago, you guys. And I was driving around town. I'm like, oh, here's the coffee place I used to... Oh, wait, it's not here anymore. Oh, my gosh, this is the best burger. Oh, wait, it's a condo. So there's nothing left that I used to love in Austin. Oh, there's a lot of new things that I love here, so...
What are some of the new things that you love?
Taco Deli. That is a high-class breakfast taco. I really like... I like... Well, sadly, okay... This is really specific, but I'm really upset that I went to South Congress to walk around. And that place, Uncommon Objects, you know that place, guys?
Yeah.
It closed down and I almost cried because I love that place. I got some of the weirdest stuff there.
It just moved.
They moved, but like nobody's gonna go down there. They're gonna go out of business. I'm very pessimistic. Everybody go there to buy Christmas gifts, all right? It's one of the best antique stores I've ever seen in my life. I think the problem was that everybody just went in and didn't buy anything. They just looked around. It was too cool. Anyway, go to Uncommon Objects down on 71 or wherever the hell it moved because I don't want them to go out of business permanently, even though I haven't gone there to buy something to support them. Anyway.
You'll have to do that before you leave.
I don't have time. I have to leave tomorrow, but when I come back.
Yeah.
Because I have family here anyway, so I come several times a year just on my own.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, before we jump into anything else, that you announced that you were going to be joining the Magicians on Sci-Fi.
I did. They just tweeted and announced that. Anybody watch Magicians?
Yes.
A lot of people. It's a really great show, and I'm a huge fan of it, and the fact that I was able to be on it and play this fantastic character I don't want to talk too much about, or at all. We will save that when it comes out and when it's closer, but she's wonderful, and she's a character that was in the books as well. So if you read the book, you kind of know that she's a pretty cool, fun character.
So how did the casting for that come about? Did they reach out to you, or was it something?
It was kind of a combination of a bunch of things, just knowing things in the network, and I just I did a bunch of really cool spots that just came out today or yesterday with Orlando Jones. They were kind of like promos, really funny little it's a fan thing spots. And I did a lot of creative stuff on it, and they just came out today. I'm going to be tweeting about them next week. And so just, you know, I worked with Sci-Fi several years ago with Eureka. So it was really cool to kind of get reacquaint myself with the executives over there. And, like, they honestly are doing some really great shows right now. I feel like there's a really, they took a really good right turn back into, like, what fans really love.
They really did.
Yeah, this year. And so they have amazing shows on. They're really doing things that the fans love. And especially at Comic-Con this year, I was like, oh, you're doing cool things. Again, let's do that. So I'm really excited about being on the show as well as the little spots I'm doing, which are really, really funny. And I got to do some writing on, too.
Ooh, very nice. Well, we will be looking forward to that, since you can't tell us anything too much yet.
I don't want to spoil anything because it's in January. Yeah. So I'm sure I'll be talking about it. It's a, you know, talking about myself tomorrow. But. Let's talk about you.
Okay.
You have a very cute baby.
I do.
We were talking like nerd mom things in the back back there.
Yeah, we were. We could talk. Do you guys want to just talk about mom things the whole time?
No.
Somebody cheer for that.
Okay. I mean, well, that's the thing about it, because I didn't care about anything about a kid or mom things or pregnancy. I was like, ugh, I don't want to hear any of that. But once you're in it, you're like, I only want to hear about that. But it's a sharp divide, because my single friends don't call me anymore because they are not interested. And I get it, because I was that person. I never called my friends after they have babies. And now I'm like, ooh, I was a jerk.
Becomes your life. It's hard.
It's hard. I have not played a full video game since she got born, and that is really not hard for the course, you guys. I just finished a book last night, and I was like, whoa, I finished a book. I used to read 3-4 books a week, so we gotta... This baby's cutting in my consumption time, guys. Somebody give me a space time pocket so I can just play some video games, because I really miss it.
One day, it'll happen.
No, well,
they'll be beating
you. No, maybe not. It looks like we have a couple of fan questions.
Oh, we're going to do some questions, guys.
Yeah.
Line up over here. Or over there. Are there two of them?
I think so. Is there one over here? No, I think there's just one over here.
Okay, just so if you're over here, just, you know, get up now, and in about 20 minutes, you'll get make your way over to the microphone.
Hi, my name's Kiara. I love all of your works.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You have good taste.
I like to think so. I think you're fantastic. Among like a lot of your works, I really enjoyed your character Charlie in Supernatural.
Thank you. Charlie is one of my favorite characters I've ever played.
Oh, that's fantastic. She's amazing. And also you.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, sorry guys, cover your ears, but in gals. So Charlie died in Supernatural, and it was horrible.
One person is very upset at you.
I said spoiler alert.
No, you did. I don't know if they got their earplugs in quite fast enough, but you're good. You're good.
I do talk like fast.
It was 3 seasons. It was 2 seasons
right.
ago, right?
Like, if you're not
season
cut up,
yeah.
Come on.
It's okay. We still love that person.
Of course.
They're crying right now, but it's cool.
We're also crying.
Yeah.
So I feel like Charlie's death in particular was really unfair, and they could have done it a lot better. And I don't know if you agree, but if you could have rewritten Charlie's death, how would you have rewritten it?
You know, I, as somebody who's created my own show and know how hard it is, and not even doing 22 episodes a year, they get no time off, you know, and there's so many episodes. So especially when you get toward the end of the season, you just have to roll with it. You have to do what you need to do to get to the end to make a really good cliffhanger for the next season. So I, you know, as sad as I was personally that I didn't get to play Charlie, hopefully for a temper, you know, I mean, you never know on Supernatural. Bobby is the most undead character in existence. So if he can come back every single, you know, season, it's, Charlie still has hope. So, you know, you do what you need to do. Although personally, I was very, very sad because I really had an emotional connection to Charlie in a way I think that was unique, because it was 4 seasons. It was the longest I've ever been on a show. And the relationship between Charlie and the guys was very important to me, just because I was going through a lot personally. If you read my book, a lot of that stuff happened, especially toward the end of the book, during my time on Supernatural. So that was really kind of a touchstone for me and a stability that I didn't even realize how important it was in my life. So when that was taken away, in a way, it was devastating to me. But I don't want to retcon anything about Charlie, except I wish there was just more blood all over the bathroom, just so it was like, oh, she took some of that guy out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Maybe he lost an eye or something. Like, so that would have been, I guess, the only thing I would tweak. Because she was pretty badass with a knife and a sword.
She was so badass.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess, you know, more blood. That's the only thing. But you never know what'll happen. Regardless, it's so amazing to play a character that has such an impact on people's lives. Like, I've had girls come up to me and say, I'm going to be a computer programmer because of Charlie. I've had people come up and say, I came out to my parents, and I was brave enough to do that because of you and your portrayal of Charlie. And it goes to show that art is not just passive consumption. The things that we love, they mean something to our lives. And as an artist and as somebody in the industry of entertainment, it's good to be reminded of that fact, that representation and portraying a character that may not be portrayed on an everyday basis is important to some people, if not a lot of people. So thank you.
Thank you.
I just had a quick question about Supernatural. What was it like filming on that set? Were they like hams all the time and it was hard to get through scenes, or was everybody very serious when they were filming?
You know, Jared and Jensen are from Texas, so they're amazing, and they're such gentlemen, and just so smart and funny, and together, and a family within themselves, as well as on screen, off screen. So they were super respectful to me. To Misha, not so much. I only did one scene with them, with Misha, and I was like, oh boy. They were pranking him the whole time. Somebody was giving him a wedgie at one point when he was on camera. Yeah, on camera. No, no, it was really funny. Like, I was like, I was cracking up. And I was like, no, so they were super respectful to me. It might have been because I was, I'm a woman, or maybe just because I'm just more respectful than Misha. No, Misha's a wonderful person too. I guess they just pick on him. It's really funny, I'm sorry. So poor Misha. Yeah, so anytime you see Misha doing like a close-up, know that Jared or Jensen are probably giving a wedgie at that point. That's why it looks a little pained.
So first of all, I wanted to say thank you. A couple years ago, I bought you breakfast at Kirby Lane, and you called me out on Twitter.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Yeah. I love free breakfast.
So it totally made my day when you, like, called me out. I was like, yes.
No, no, that made my
super,
day.
I was super nervous. I, like, didn't want to, because, again, you, like, you were like,
oh. You picked up my pancakes. I mean, that's great. That's better than a drink. That's better than a drink.
I was really hoping you guys had queso on the table. I just assumed you did.
It was too early. I'm really regretting that, too. Yeah. I mean, why is it? Why would I even think it's too early for queso?
Not especially for queso, right? So the question I wanted to ask, though, is you've done a lot in the fantasy genre. Is there a genre of film or work that you wanted to get into that you haven't done yet, or something that you wish you had done more in?
I mean, I always want to do comedy, and I think, you know, the funny thing is that in the comedy world, I'm, you know, nobody knows who I am. You know, weird. It's this weird kind of like segmented thing, you know, those people who do all the comedy stuff, they're in their own little world, so people in the sci-fi place might not be like, I don't know that guy, but he's huge in the comedy world. So they're different kind of sort of demarcations in entertainment. I would love to do more comedy because I feel like that's what I really, I've done improv my whole, you know, career, and I think the Guild had a lot of comedy in it.
You're hilarious, and yeah, like, most of the stuff you do, like, you know, you come across as that quirky, like, super hilarious.
Yeah, character. I always am the comedic person within the hour, yeah. Which is really funny because I can't seem to break into that half-hour thing, but it's a very tight-knit world, and, you know, I'm really dedicating, as I go forward in my career, I have less bandwidth, and I'm really focusing on trying to, you know, develop either my own stuff in the television space or, you know, work more in television, so we'll see what happens. I feel like I'm kind of a goofball. And I would like to be able to do that, maybe without aliens, but then when I think about, oh, what if it was a comedy with aliens, why is that so much better? Because I'm an alien. I know.
Well,
if you
ever want to do stand-up at Cap City, I would totally go see it.
Oh, thank you. You know, I did a stand-up class last year, and I had such a good time, and then I got pregnant, and I was like, I want to eat bacon. So I'd love to get back into it, as well as writing books. But, you know, the baby, like, she needs to sleep, guys. Any tips? Get this baby to sleep. I love sleeping. Why does she not like sleeping? Why are you waking up? I don't wake up every 2 hours to snack. I don't go and get some Cheetos. Like, oh, it's 11 p.m. I'm gonna wake up and get Cheetos. That's, she needs to eat. You have feelings about this. Yeah, I didn't finish my mint. I'm so very fresh up here. Next question.
Hey, Felicia. I wanted to thank you for representing us geek girls out there.
Thank you. So many love. I've been doing this for, it's the 10th anniversary of the Guild, which is crazy to me. Also, Austin Java Company went out of business on Lamar, which is like, oh, that's old. That makes me feel old too, because that place was my favorite. I got a lot of test A's by studying that place. But like 10 years ago, when I started doing conventions for Buffy and stuff, there were like a fraction of the women at any of these events. And I can't tell you how awesome it is to see an equitable balance and more reflected in real life, the balance between men and women in conventions when I go there. Because it's awesome, and we're all just loving the same thing together, and we can coexist like that. I think that's really beautiful. Anyway, keep going.
Well, I wanted to also thank you for taking the heat from the misogynistic gamers. Yes. You stood up for what you believed, and you represented us all, and I wanted to thank you for that. Our hearts hurt for you after reading some of the comments that were thrown your way, and we just wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
My light question. question would be, I'm a geek mom myself, and I like to dress my little boy up. One of his best costumes was a TOS Captain Kirk at 2 years old. I was wondering if you have done that yet, if you've dressed your little girl.
Oh yeah. I've dressed her up as, she did have an original Star Trek uniform. She had a Supergirl. I posted an amazing picture on my Instagram of her in a Wonder Woman onesie. And somebody gave me a Harley Quinn onesie, which I don't, you know, whatever. I don't really wear it. I didn't put it on her because I'm a little conflicted on that character. You know, just as personally, I'm conflicted on what she represents. I totally respect people who love her, but for my baby, 12 months, so no, that's not gonna happen. I really want to learn how to make costumes for her, but it's never gonna happen probably, so I'll just be on Etsy buying other people. The great thing is there was I was at a convention, it might have been in Utah or something, but there was a woman who specializes in capes and stuff, and she made a cape and a little mask for her that is so cute, I cannot wait for her to grow into it. So, I don't know, I love seeing kids in cosplay, and I want to, especially when she gets old enough to be able to say what she wants to be in, because I don't want to just impose my beliefs on her. Listen, she might be a jock, you guys. Yeah. I'm terrified of that. I don't want her to play soccer. I'm not interested in going to soccer things because they're outside. But if she really loves that, I'm going to have to bite the bullet and do that. So I don't want to be like, hey, you need to be a geek and you need to love these things. So that's not me being a parent. I feel like me introducing everything to her and then whatever she's interested in, like encouraging and supporting that is my job. I would really like her to like dragons, though. So it's a real, this parenting thing is just a pain in the butt. Anyway, thank you for that.
What's your favorite part about being Charlie?
My favorite part about being Charlie? You know, my favorite part of when I played Charlie was when I did the LARPing episode. Do you remember that? When I was, I got to play a queen, and I got a very cool custom outfit. And it was really, they were leather pants, and they were customized, so I looked really cool in them. So that was my favorite. My favorite thing about being Charlie, though, was that she was a character who really sometimes wasn't confident inside, but she was brave enough to overcome that fear and just do things because she loved them and she loved the people she was doing them for. So sometimes as a person, I don't know if I'm as brave as Charlie is, and she made me a braver person playing her. And so that's what I love about her the most.
I really like that assessment.
First of all, I gotta say that I was a huge fan of the Guild. That's
what thank people, you.
I love your work, and that was the epitome of your comedy. My question is, I really love the Guild, and I do watch it over and over again. I actually don't even get tired of it. And I was wondering.
Thank you.
High five.
I caught it. And sending it back.
Okay.
Oh,
saving it for later.
Yeah. Okay.
My question is, have you ever thought of maybe continuing that show, maybe kind of like a spinoff, and maybe adding like a game that's kind of popular today, because obviously it's kind of based off World of Warcraft back in the day, but now it's maybe, you ever thought of maybe doing that again?
You know, it's really interesting. I think I wrote about this a little bit in my book, where because the end of the Guild, that season 6 was such a really stressful time in my life. Like, it was very stressful, and I was kind of having a nervous breakdown because Geek & Sundry was just starting, and I was trying to do what I did before, but then add on like 20 shows onto that. And it was really very difficult for me mentally and physically, so I kind of burnt out on the show. So after it was done, I like really wanted to put a period on the story. But the thing about it is, in the fall, I was approached to do a special, because it was the 10th anniversary this summer, and I was supposed to do some extra comics to do a compilation of all the comics I'd done. And the comics I wrote are the prequel to the Guild, so it's like how Codex got into the game, and then how she met all the Guild members, and then how all the Guild members sort of their backstories that you don't learn in the actual show, and then leading up to the first episode of the first season. So I did, and then there were several one-shots, and they said, do you want to do some extra stuff for him? And for the first time since, like, I think it was 2012 or whatever, or 2013, I was like, oh yeah, I want to revisit those characters. So, you know, 3 years later, I was like, oh, I really have good ideas for these. Again, I don't know if I would do, like, something where the same characters as us, because I don't like those revival shows. I hate seeing people old when they were, you know what I'm saying? It's like, where were you? Now you look old, or you had, like, some plastic surgery done, you don't look the same.
Well, you look the same. So.
Exactly. Nobody looks the same, right? We're not the same people, hopefully. You're never the same person you were 10 years ago. If you are, you probably need to take more risks, I guess. I don't know if that's my philosophy. You should always be constantly evolving and growing, so I don't know if I want to go do that, but I would love to maybe play with the universe and the characters a little bit more, and I'm finally ready to maybe look at that. And the cool thing is, I got to keep all rights to the show, so I can do whatever I want with it. Because I don't know how I got, I don't know why I did that. It was really smart, but I didn't have any idea what I was doing at the time. It was that smart. So thank you. You know, the characters do live in my heart, and I do love them, and I might be ready to approach it in some kind of way going forward.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
You briefly mentioned Peek and Sundry, and yeah. I don't know if everybody out here knows what that is. Woo! Love that site. And
thank
I
wanted you.
To just tell everybody what it is, because I think it's so awesome that you
Yeah, it's a company that started in 2011, or 2012, and it just started as a production company. I just wanted to make more shows. We were funded by YouTube, and we kind of put all these shows out. The most successful was Table Talk with Will Wheaton, which is an amazing show. And then we were funded for 2 years by YouTube, and then they stopped doing the program where they funded companies. We were only one of five that they reinvested in the second year, because we were one of the only, you know, successful ones. And then after that, I sold the company to Legendary Entertainment, who took it in a, you know, different direction. So now, because I love live streaming, we did Twitch, which started, that was kind of my pet project, especially Critical Role, which is an amazing show. If you guys don't know D&D or want to watch it live, it's the premier show in the world to watch role-playing, because all the actors in it are professional voiceover actors you'd see in every cartoon, every video game. So, like, I had heard my friend Ashley play this game with all these professional voiceover actors. I was like, oh, I love Twitch. I want to do a Twitch channel for Geek & Sundry, and I think we should add this group. And then Matt Mercer and his magic took it away. So I just gave him a platform, and he made it magic, and his team. So that's it's one of, you know, it's a company that I don't, you know, I'm not as involved as I was, especially before the baby, and, you know, I step back in some ways. But it still kind of represents what I love, which is inclusive, very specific demographic, like, really going deep versus wide. Like, we don't need to please everybody, we just need to please the people who love what they do, and especially for things like Magic the Gathering or D&D or, you know, those kind of things. Role-playing, they have lots of role-playing game shows on there now. I really want to just represent the love of getting together and doing things with your friends in that live format. So if you guys are interested in role-playing, go to the twitch.tv/geekandsundry. That's my advertisement.
It really is awesome, though. Check it out.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Okay, question over here.
So glad you mentioned Critical Role, because I'm a big fan. So
yeah, it's amazing. I'm a huge fan too. I fell off the wagon, but it's a good time to get back on, because they're now transitioning to a new system, I guess, or a new story.
Right. I just got into it, so.
You got like 70 hours to go. Like, it's 3 hours a night of role playing, and there's 70 characters. I mean, like, good luck. It's like watching, trying to catch up on Law and Order. Yeah, exactly.
I really just wanted to riff off of something you said earlier. You mentioned being an old school Austinite and how there's a lot of things that aren't here anymore that you used to love. So I just wanted to let you know, I've observed, because I've been here for about 20 years and I grew up in San Antonio, there's actually an Austin game that I don't know if people know that they're playing. It's the I've been here longer than you game. But the way that it works is, you talk about a thing that you remember that used to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Whoever's the one that can remember something that was here the longest ago,
oh boy,
is the one who wins.
Okay, will we go play this game?
We can if you want.
Okay.
I was gonna ask you actually, like, what's the oldest thing that you remember that used to be here that isn't here anymore?
Okay, there was on the drag, I used to come here for violin lessons when I lived in San Antonio when I was 14, or, you know, and there was a place called Quackenbushes that was the best coffee shop, and it was on the drag, though. There was another Quackenbushes over in Hyde Park, but it was on the drag, and it had a cool sign out front, And I got sick when I ate cream of mushroom soup there. I was really sick.
That's a perfect example.
Okay.
So.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember Quackabush.
I beat you!
Yeah.
Yes! Yes!
Okay, but wait, when was that?
I win.
When was that?
I win. It was probably like 19, I was probably like 14 or 15, so probably like 94.
Oh, okay.
95? Because my mom would drive me up for violin lessons before I even started college here, so.
Okay, you totally win.
Okay. I win, you guys!
Thank you very much.
I'm way older! No, not really. I'm sorry, I didn't let you do your example. Okay, you lost. Get out.
It's like 5 years later than that.
Oh, 5 years later? Okay. Go ahead. I won something today. It's not even big, it's just something. It's old. Or just I was around a long time. Where did you live here?
I don't live here.
You don't live here?
I don't.
So you lost that game really bad.
I have no idea what anyone is talking about. Okay. I know the chicken place down the street, and that is it.
Is it good?
Gus's?
No.
Yes!
Oh, so, but is it hot fried chicken?
Yes.
And the best pecan pie I've ever had in my life. But I'm very concerned about the fact there's no sweet tea in this town, I found out. I don't know if there's any.
But you go to Bob Miller's, I'm
somebody told me you need to teach me, Austin.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yes.
So it's out there?
Yeah. Yes.
You can find it.
I was going to say, I've definitely had sweet tea a lot of places.
I've been lied to.
Yeah, they just don't want you to have high fructose corn syrup.
That.
Go to the Champions Bar and Grill down the street. So maybe.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
No. Next question.
So, funny enough, kind of going back to the Quackenbush, 94 days, call out UT, ESP class. Donald, way back in the day.
Donald?
The Donald.
Oh my God, I was in class with you! Come here! Are you the son of Jennifer? I know! So see, you're so cut. You're such a skinny little dude. No, that was a muscle. Look over there, another guy. That's hilarious.
That's really random and cool.
Uh-oh. What are you going to expose about me? Are you still making really stinky burritos in the study lunch?
It was good times. No, the question was, do you think you're ever going to go back to Acquisitions, Inc. or do any more of this stuff with the D&D games and packs?
I would love to. You know, it's just been hard for me to travel with the baby. I've done some conventions and stuff, but like for packs, it's like more of a hobby thing, you know? Like just, I used to go just to like wander around looking at games and talk to my games people, and I get less leisure time, you know what I'm saying? So, I would love to do it next year.
Yeah, they have PAX South in San Antonio, so maybe we'll see.
Oh, that would be super fun.
Right, because it's...
I know, Jerry really well, and he keeps asking me, I'm like, okay, just give me a year, and then we'll talk about where I could go, because I love PAX. I love it, and I love role-playing.
San Antonio, so we can see you.
I mean, my ideal world would be, I would be in Critical Role every week, you know? I can't just worm my way in there because I was a boss, you know? I could, actually. I won't do that. I should pull more strings for myself, guys. Hi, Donald. It's good to see you. Oh my God, it's so weird, you guys. We used to study together all the time for math. Whatever happened to Jennifer?
Jennifer's the only one I can't find.
She can't. You have find her? I can find her. Right. We've got connections. I heard she had a baby and moved to Mexico, but that might have been a rumor. Okay, next question.
Hi, this is the third time I've talked to you. I met you at DragonCon.
Hey!
At the airport last year, actually.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. No offense.
My question, I'm a, look like everyone else, so.
Yeah, no, you don't.
Anyway, my question was, if you could take Charlie and put her in any other sci-fi genre, which one would you choose?
Sci-fi, like a show?
Or a movie.
A
just
movie?
Any fandom.
Pitch Black. Guys, I'm sorry, but Pitch Black and Underworld, both very dark movies, are my favorite movies. I mean, not my favorite, but I just love them so much. They're not the best movies, but they're the best movies. And that Pitch, especially that one, Pitch Black, it was one of the first Vin Diesel. Like, that movie has a special place in my heart for some reason. I can watch that movie 50 times. It kind of like B-movie adjacent, but it's still high quality. Maybe that's why I love doing MST3K so much. But Pitch Black, MST3K wouldn't be, it's too good a movie. You can't MST3K that movie. Agreed?
Yes.
Thank you. Anyway, yeah, I would love her. I think she could hang there. Not an alien. She's too whimsical. She couldn't be in the Aliens franchise. She could be, in Star Trek. I think she would be in the Star Trek universe. She could be like a, you know, a know-it-all kind of kid. I don't know. I think she fits most in something really weird. Like, that's just my dream. Vin Diesel movie. I auditioned for XXX. Did anybody see that movie?
Yeah.
The new one?
Yeah.
There was the nerdy girl who was kind of, she's not nerdy. They hired like the super, super hot girl and just put some glasses on her. She was in charge.
She was Nina?
Yeah. She was in charge of all the weapons and stuff.
She was terrible.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. She was just this hot, hot girl. And she put some glasses on her. I was like, I can't compete with that. I'm just really nerdy. I can't do the hot girl with nerdy glasses on. Because I'm just too nerdy. It's okay. She can be hot. God bless her. Next question.
Hi.
What's up?
I want to ask you a question actually about Dr. Horrible Sing Along
Blonde. Yes! Guys, we're warming up the room.
And I was wondering, what was your favorite scene to do in that movie? Because, like, all of it is just comedy gold.
I mean, thank you. That is, you know, that's the 10th anniversary is next year of that. I don't know what's going to happen. I hope something cool. Isn't that crazy? But I would love, you know, I love doing that so much. I was so scared all the time. And, like, that was just my default back then. I've gotten a lot better about my anxiety and stuff. I've worked on myself. But back then, I was just terrified constantly. So I was so intimidated by Nathan and Neil that I was just, like, didn't want to screw up. But a lot of the time, there was one scene in the laundromat where it's he's singing Laundry Day, and there's a moment where all the people are closing the washers all together, kind of like a can-can line. All I remember is that day because we had such a fun time, and somebody taught us the Superman dance in the parking lot, and one extra just could not close their laundry door in the right time, and he kept arguing with Joss about, like, he was doing it right. It was like, not a big deal. It was just kind of funny, you know, at the time. We were just all having such a good time. That was the day that I was really felt like, oh, I'm actually, you know, okay to hang with these people because even though they're cool, I can be as cool as them or at least pretend. So that was my favorite day. It really felt like a family, and we were really coming together and making, like, a show. And, yeah, that was my favorite day.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. I love your outfit again.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hi, Felicia.
Hey, what's up?
My question to you is, I mean, I absolutely love your work. I love everything that you do, especially
Thank you.
Geek and Sundry. I actually have a twofold question. My first question is, one of the shows that you did on Geek and Sundry is called LARPs.
Oh, yeah.
I love that show. I fell in love with it, but it kind of hasn't gone anywhere, I guess, for about a year or two years now. Are you guys going to be continuing production?
I mean, I'm not in charge of what a lot of the things, as far as picking up shows there. I know that the challenging thing is with scripted, you know, I'm sure you guys have noticed that there was a lot of scripted stuff online and then it all went away. And it's because scripted stuff is really expensive to make relatively to just somebody talking to a camera or live streaming or stuff. So it's really hard, and it's just an economic thing that affects everybody on the web, not just Geek & Sundry or anything. It really is advertiser-sponsored, you know, advertiser-friendly world, and they, for many years, decided rather than sponsoring something like the Guild or LARPs, they would rather sponsor like a vlogger talking about their product or like doing like, a little snippet when it's one person. So they can give that person, you know, $50,000, which is an enormous amount for one person, but you can't really do a scripted series for that price. So it's just the economics of it. I could go into all the wonky detail. The bottom line is that it's just really hard to do scripted online anymore because there's not enough money there to make it well. LARPs is a great example of something that we went in to co-finance. So they were in Montreal, and they got money from the Canadian government and some other money together, and we came in and helped them finance more. I think just the ability to do another season, maybe it didn't pan out. And you know, my love will always be scripted content, and whether it's me alone or with Geek & Sundry doing that, that's kind of what I'm trying to like zone in on as I go forward in my career. But you know, I love that show so much, and I'm sad we couldn't make any more, but you know, you never know. I know that the creators would love to make more. So we'll see, knock on wood that something happens, we get more.
Start a Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's hard. There's so many Kickstarters. I get 5 emails a day. Can you promote my Kickstarter? I'm like, really? Yes.
5 a day?
Okay, 5 a day. 5 a week, probably. Okay. I'm sorry, you just call me out?
No. 5 a week. 5 a week.
Five a week is a lot. It's a lot of people trying to get their, you know. I'm sorry. I like it.
I was like,
you want to fight?
No,
I don't need that.
I'm just really comfy right now.
Yeah, me too. This is a very nice couch, guys. Okay.
Yeah.
Next question.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. No, like I was saying, I love your work and everything that you do is essentially been my dream since I was a teenager.
Oh, thank you.
So my question is to you, what would you do to give young women, you know, advice as to how they would get started in that kind of work?
Make your own stuff. Like, I mean, now that I just talked to you about the economics of scripted series, you can literally make a movie on your iPhone. And like a lot of people, and there's a great example in Austin. You know, the reason I did what I did was that I was inspired by volunteering for film festivals like South By and Austin Film Festival when I was like in college. And I saw like Linklater and Rodriguez. If you look at their first movies, they're made for very little money. And had they had the tools that you guys and we all have now, they could have made it for even less money. So like people get careers off of one short. And they get careers off of one tiny movie they do for almost no money. Like, Dazed and Confused was like, no money. And it was just, he had a vision and he had a story that he wanted to tell. And at the end of the day, it's really about the writing and the stories. So that's what I would encourage you to do. And we need more women storytellers and more directors anyway. So if you have, yeah, thank you. So if you have a story, don't let those kind of limitations stop you, because honestly, it's better to get it out there in some form or another so that you can move on to the next thing and make it better from what you learned from the first time. The first episode of The Guild, watch it and then watch like season 6. It's like vastly different, and it's not just a money thing. We had more money, but not that much more money. It was really just about experience. And when people are like, I want to be an actor, well, I would not advise you necessarily to go to acting school or get a degree in it. I would advise you to just act as much as possible and be on sets watching other people act as much as possible, because it's really an on-the-job kind of thing. And the same thing with filmmaking, you know, studying it is great, but really it's the doing of it that makes you experienced and get better. So be willing to do some stuff that's not so good to get to the place where you do something good. And that's my best advice. Okay, fine.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Was, I think you said something like, my weirdness became my greatest strength or something?
It's true, and I never thought about that until I put it down on paper, and I was like, that's profound.
I think that's people that want to do something that's a little, you know, not conventional or whatever, who's surrounded by people who are saying, oh, well, why are you doing that? That's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, if you haven't read the book, it's very inspirational if you haven't read it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think saddest thing is that somebody would be dissuaded from doing something because the people around them discourage them. And like I said, as a parent, like my job is to find something that she loves and just encourage her. No matter if it's something like she loves trucks, let's go see all the things about trucks that we can do. Like that's this, and if you can't find the people around you to support you, look around you. There's a people around you to support you, you know? Like you can find people, and that's where, you know, the online world has a lot of bad things about it, especially nowadays. I think that there's the dark side of the internet has reared its head a lot more than the light side. But I still believe in the light side, and I think that if you need something in your life and you don't have that support around you, there are ways to find people who do support you through the online world. You don't have to be physically near the people who you need in your life necessarily now, and I think that's a perfect example. Yeah. Next question.
Hi, earlier you mentioned you like going to PAX, and I was just wondering if you were planning on going to PAX South.
I don't have my schedule for next year, but I, like I said, I would love to do that. I would love to do something with the D&D thing they do. It's just I don't have my schedule next year. It's really hard. Guys, babies, I don't mean to harp on this, but they are hard.
Yes.
They've kind of put a crimp in the style where I used to work like 15 hours a day and then play video games and sleep a little bit. I don't even sleep a little bit now. It's okay. Anyway, I'll just have a look at the calendar and see. But
yeah,
thank you for asking, because I know a lot of my friends go. My brother went last year and was like, this is the best con ever. You know, this is one of the best cons.
I think a lot of us would quite like to see you there.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for asking.
We have time for a few more questions.
I will hurry. These four people. We're going to get through there.
Okay, let's do it.
We're going to do it, I promise.
Okay, first, Gus has sweet teeth. So I don't know why you haven't gotten sweet tea yet. I'm very passionate about sweet tea.
Yeah.
So
Can you consult with her afterwards? Because I'm afraid she's going to leave Austin with a really bad impression.
I know. It's really upsetting.
I'm so glad I was here for you guys to tell me the truth.
Okay, good.
So, you've talked a bit about having a baby and being like a geek mom and somebody who is, like, regardless of my plans, will probably be a geek mom. Do you have any, like, plans that you've laid out for yourself to be able to find, like, oh, well, she does like trucks, so I'm going to make sure that I expose her to trucks instead of just, like, she's watching, you know, Pee-wee's Big Adventure every day, all day, like I did as a child. So, you know.
I mean, you've got good hair. you know, it's kind of a balance because I want her to be exposed to lots of things, but I don't want her to be exposed to things that I don't think are good for, especially for girls. I don't want her to ever be even introduced to the idea that girls are not good at math or not equals to, you know, those are things that are like, I didn't get exposed to them as much as a kid because I was homeschooled, but I don't want to just sequester her or watch Pee-wee's Big Adventure every day. So she's not, you know, it's like a balance. Like, how do I protect her and yet expose her to the things so she knows what she will love? So I guess that's my constant job. And to me, it's just finding opportunities where in a safe way she can see things that she might love. Like if she loves anime or whatever. I don't know. I'll probably screw up. But at the end of the day, being screwed up a little bit has done a lot for me. So it's probably better. Maybe. Next question.
It's wonderful seeing you.
Thank
again.
You.
You are my geek goddess.
Oh, thank
even though Bill Wheaton tried to steal that title when I saw you guys.
He tried to be geek goddess?
I was geeking out at the photo op and like, oh my god, it's the geek goddess. Will Wheaton's like, yes, it's it. And Felicia's here too. So he tried to steal the title.
Will.
Anyway, one of my favorite characters of yours is Talus, and I was wondering if you see yourself being in the Dragon Age universe ever again.
If they ever ask me, I would love that. I wanted them to be able to have relations with me.
For real?
They told me at the time, they were like, yeah, we were gonna be having you be fully romanceable, but they didn't think it was respectful. I'm like, nobody asked me.
I mean, we can romance Zephyrin, but not Talus?
I know. Send an email. Thank you. Next question.
Hello.
Hey.
I just had a quick question. We've been kind of talking a lot about the stuff that you do, but I kind of wanted to know where else you draw inspiration from, like what kind of podcasts you like, that kind of a thing.
Oh, thank you. That's for asking. You know, I listen to, I love Hello for the Magic Tavern.
Woo!
Does anybody listen to that? Go download it. It's so funny. It's like an improv thing about a guy who's, you know, stranded in a magical world. It's really funny. I read a lot of fiction. I love, like, Ian Banks and Neil Asher. I like some hard science fiction. I love romance novels like Ilona Andrews and, I could go on and on. I love this show on Netflix called Crazy Head. You guys, you should definitely watch that. It's like female comedy supernatural in England. It's so funny. So I don't get to consume as much lately, but those are some of the things on the top of my head that I consume. And I really would love to find a venue where I recommend things like that again, and whether it's, I don't know, maybe I'll start a podcast, I don't know, something. I do like recommending things, because I'm kind of bossy. It's a good thing.
I think a lot of us follow you on Twitter, that might work.
Yeah, exactly, I'll just tweet it. Okay, bye. Last question.
Hi, I have a question about Conan.
Yes.
So I was wondering, since you're in season 1 and not 2, are you going to come back in 3?
Well, I was in 2.
You were?
Yeah, Yeah.
You lied to me.
Brown is in trouble.
He told me he was going to show me the second season.
Oh my god.
Did I set you up?
I was in one episode, I played Lou Ferrigno's assistant.
Oh, okay.
It's really weird. Your brother is awful. Just like my brother. Little brothers? Big brothers? Any brothers?
Big brother.
Just any brother is not. It's good because I might want to have a little boy just so my little girl can just treat him like a brother.
What? She's not in season 2? Why?
I'm in the one episode,
good.
Okay?
Good.
Where's your brother? You're in the boy, oh boy. Anyway. All right, bye.
Thank you so much for coming and chatting with us
today.
That was amazing.
I hope you enjoyed that panel. If you haven't already, go check out a Wizard World near you. They're super fun. Even though ours isn't gigantic, we really love when Wizard World comes to Austin. If you like this episode, you might like other Wizard World panels that we've recorded, like the Men of Trek episode from 2012, featuring Michael Dorn, LeVar Burton, Jonathan Frakes, and Brent Spiner, and the Women of Trek episode featuring Gates McFadden and Marina Sirtis. There's also a really fun Sean Astin panel and Jason Isaacs panel from, I believe, 2015, as well as a number of panels that our former Anomaly staffer Sue Kissenweather was a part of at DragonCon. Look for those at anomalypodcast.com. So Angela and I are getting started on a list of episodes that we want to do next year. If you have any suggestions or want to put your two cents in, please contact us at anomalypodcast.com, where you can also find all of our social circles, blog posts, and archived Anomaly episodes. You can also call our voicemail line at 432-363-4742 or send a recorded memo or written email to girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. We just recorded a review of Star Wars The Last Jedi this afternoon. It's the first of three that I have to do today. I'm going to be recording one for the Star Wars Stacks, which is my other podcast, swstacks.com. Check it out. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher. And I'm going to be on a roundtable for Treks in Sci-Fi, treksf.com. That's Rico Dosti's podcast. Anyway, I'm going to be talking a lot about this movie, but I really wanted to record with Angela, just she and I, to get our unique perspective all in one episode, just the two of us, so we can deliver that to our listeners, and hopefully you enjoyed the movie like we did. We welcome your feedback. If you want to send that to us, you totally can. Just contact us at the places I told you about earlier. If you like Anomaly, please share us with a friend or rate us on iTunes. We really could use some help spreading the word about our show. If you're feeling really generous, you can help support Anomaly financially. Look for the details at anomalypodcast.com. I think there's a support Anomaly link or a help make more Anomaly button underneath the player on the homepage. Thank you to everyone who has supported us over the years. We couldn't have done this for so long without you. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in a few days. I'm Jen, and you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.